This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
If you don't sit in your lucky seat, your team could lose. So don't leave your lucky seat. But do pick up your phone or computer and order B-dubs to go. Or if you've got a big group, call in for the party menu. That way you can order wings, pick them up, and get back to your lucky seat. And if you do lose while sitting in your lucky seat, you can still feel lucky eating your feelings. Spicy feelings. Keep your superstitions. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. See participating locations for details. Void where prohibited.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Juice Podcast. My name is Solomon Ali at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. Here joined by Paul, aka at Rocket Intellect on Twitter. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Looking forward to this preseason game that I have to get up early in the morning to see.
Yeah, the time zone's really screwed up for us. Also joined by Taylor Pate at Taylor L. Pate. How are you doing, man?
I am doing pretty well. Also excited to have a reason to wake up early, I guess.
First week of preseason action in the books. We have two games under our belt. Any thoughts, any takeaways from the first game that stick out to you?
The offense looks awesome. That's my first takeaway. I expected the offense to be really good, but I underestimated just how much D'Antoni improves the team's passing as a whole. You know, you saw a lot of awesome Harden passes these two preseason games, but you also saw like occasional dimes from guys like Trevor Ariza and Corey Brewer, which is certainly not something that I have seen. So that was rather surprising and very, very, very pleasing at the same time. And, you know, it's the defense hasn't been great, but the effort in the second game was actually pretty decent, especially on the boards. You can tell that they've made an effort to improve the team's rebounding as a whole. So all of that is pretty a pretty pleasant development.
Yeah, another one of those passers that's been underrated is Capella as the role man. We've seen some really nice dishes from him. And then I think that, you know, you can really see that this offense has already, you know, put a lot of practice under their belt. There doesn't seem like there's going to be any growing pains, no adjustment periods really. And what I really like so far is that even if Harden isn't able to create, it's not like Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon are just shooters. They are also creators and they can both get their own shot too. So I feel like you're going to see a smaller amount of times where the offense is stagnant and not moving, the ball sticking. And I've seen probably the biggest thing that I've noticed is that on the weak side, we are getting wide open looks from three.
Yeah, and the offense has been absolutely excellent. I mean, as of this moment, from the first two preseason games, and I know it's hard to take anything away from that first game against the Chinese national team against the Shanghai Sharks, but the offense as of this moment is averaging 123.9 points per 100 possessions. It's pretty insane. And actually, you pointed out earlier that, Paul, that the defense is putting forward pretty good effort, and you're right. They're sixth in the league in defensive rating for this preseason, just behind the Celtics at 87.9 points per 100 possessions. The Rockets are giving up only 90.6 points per 100 possessions. The defense has been good. It's been good. And granted, it's only been against the Shanghai Sharks and the New York Knicks, and we still have to see how it does against good offenses. But I'm impressed. And so far, I got to admit, I'm really surprised at how KJ McDaniels is playing. He's just been so good. He's been, like, really bouncy. He's been catching insane passes. Like, he has some of the best hands I've ever seen from a player that young. Like, his physical tools are just insane. Like, obviously, he has a lot of great defensive tools, and he has the tools to be a really good defensive player. But his hands for catching lob passes are just insane. That chemistry with Harden and KJ, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, I think that KJ is going to be pretty important to the team's success as a whole this regular season, especially looking at what he's done in the preseason. You realize just how little athleticism defensively the Rockets actually had. You know, Trevor Ariza and Corey Brewer are good athletes, but you didn't see any chase down blocks or any solid recoveries from their end. But you see KJ McDaniels blow by someone, get blown by on defense, and he just slaps the ball off of the backboard and makes up for it. And it's an exciting thing to see. He can be, as I think our new writer Kyle pointed out, I think he can be a really valuable asset as a roamer on defense.
Yeah, and it's kind of been interesting because we didn't know coming in how much KJ was going to get used. You know, last year he pretty much got buried and only came in garbage time. And I think what you're seeing so far is another one of those D'Antoni, you know, aha moments where he comes in and spots a problem, says, "Hey, this guy's really good. He was, you know, a highlight reel on the Sixers, and you know, he didn't do anything here because he didn't get any opportunity." Well, he's giving him the opportunity. And while there's still some stuff that he has to clean up, as an on-ball defender, he is such a good athlete. I mean, he's just so ridiculously athletic. He can jump, he can run, he's fast, and he's strong too. So if he can get that on-ball defense to come up to the next level, I mean, he's going to be an otherworldly a player for this team.
Yeah, and something you pointed out earlier about him not getting playing time last year, I was really disappointed at the way JB Bickerstaff utilized him. I think the only significant playing time he got was that one game where the Rockets pretty much used him to get into the penalty so they can do hack-a-shack on Andre Drummond. And that was pretty much it. And that was an embarrassing moment for the franchise and KJ McDaniels. And yeah, I'm really impressed. I think you pointed out something on Twitter a few days ago, Paul, where you were talking about how KJ had the highest net rating among the team. And in that short amount of playing time, he was actually doing like some of the best play among just the bench guys that the Rockets saw all of last season. And so, yeah, I think he has the tools to become a good defender. I'm still, you know, I know you disagree with me, Paul. I'm still worried about that jump shot. I just think in today's NBA, it's really important. Sure, you can space the floor as a cutter, but that, like, I would prefer he at least hit, like, 35% on corner threes this season. If he can get there, I'm comfortable, but I'm in today's NBA, I just really value that the three-point shot. And granted, You can work ways around it, and KJ is good enough to get playing time just on his physical tools alone. It's still something that concerns me a little bit.
Right. Obviously, the preference would be for him to develop a three-point shot. That's obviously what we all want. But it's probably, if he's going to develop one, it's probably not going to be this year. I can see him like shooting like 33% on like really low volume, but in reality, expecting him to make a jump this year is probably not the way to go. But he's going to make up for it with this the stuff that you mentioned, the cutting, being able to run the floor, and obviously the defense. He's going to make up for that. And you know, Corey Brewer, I know you're not a fan of Corey Brewer, but Corey Brewer is also cannot shoot, obviously, and he still managed to find his way on the floor even the year before last, and he was maybe even good the year before last year, even though he couldn't shoot. So, you know, it's you can be an effective player if you can't shoot threes. It just makes it a little bit harder. But I think KJ can manage.
Yeah.
I think they can find ways to use him that aren't that aren't 3-point shooting. Like Paul said, I think low volume, 33-34% shooter. I'm okay with that. I don't expect him to make a jump up to 37-38%, anything close to that. But he gives you so much in other areas that he doesn't necessarily have to do that to be effective.
Right. If you use him in lineups with like Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson, or Ryan Anderson and Harden, or some form of a lineup with like two elite shooters on the floor, I think that you can do reasonably well with him, because I don't think he's bad enough to kill your offense, but I think he can really help the defense in a lot of ways.
And his shot mechanics aren't terrible. Like, he's not like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist bad in terms of form. Like, his form's actually...
Hey, that's fixed now.
Yeah,
that's fixed.
It's actually pretty decent. Like, it's not terrible. Like, you could see a situation where he's hitting, maybe not this year, but next year, 35% on strictly corner threes. That's possible. You know, he's obviously been working with the shooting coach. It looks a lot better than what it was previously. Obviously, it's still not there yet, but, you know, there's a future there, I would say. And I think you guys are right. If you surround them with a crap load of shooters, which the Rockets do have now, and it's pretty insane to see Harden surrounded by like four or five shooters on the court at all times, it's pretty surreal. But if you surround KJ with a lot of shooters, I think you can make up for that. Another takeaway I saw from the preseason, Nene looks good. Like, Nene looks really, really good, and I'm starting to warm up to the idea of him starting, even though I would much prefer Capella start, because I think he's ready. If Mike D'Antoni deems him not ready, Clint Capella, then I think starting Nene for like the first half of the season and grooming Capella for the starting position, you know, giving him more minutes slowly, a little bit at a time, I think there's a justification for that, if you will.
Yeah, Nene's looked quite good, and he's... I don't know if he... I'm having a tough time deciding whether he's a better offensive choice than Capella is at this point, because I think Nene is a really good finisher and passer, obviously, but I think Capella brings you value as a role man and a lob man and offensive rebounds and whatnot. But I'm on the fence about Nene's defense. He's looked fine in the time that I've seen, but I'm not sure that I can trust a 35-year-old center to be reliable on defense and be the primary guy when you're not like Tim Duncan or something.
I think that Nene could have a really successful role in lineups that don't have Harden, because I feel like you can run offense through him, and he's a good enough passer that, you know, from the post that he can generate some offense that way. And I think that he would be like a sign of stability for bench units that don't include Harden. And so that's why I still think that Capella being paired with Harden is the way to go. You know, both for Capella's sake and for Nene's sake. And I just think that Nene is better for this team coming off of the bench.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. I'm just saying I could swallow it. Like, I would be totally okay with Nene starting for like the first half of the season if the plan is to eventually start Capella. Because I agree with you, Paul. The amount of gravity Capella gets on those short rolls. I mean, Tom Haberstroh was talking about it like a couple years ago about the amount of gravity really, really great role men have. And I think Capella has the potential to be a really, really great role man if you give him the opportunity to, because he draws a lot of attention. And with three shooters around Harden at all times and a rolling Clint Capella, I think there's a way you can make it work in the pick and roll.
Yeah, and I at this point, I think that I would be able to manage Nene starting as long as it wasn't the long-term plan. I think it would need to happen eventually in this season, because I just think you can't rely on Nene realistically. He's just has too long of a history getting hurt and all that. So I think, you know, they talk about Capella's stamina and his energy a lot. They've done that a lot this preseason. So if they want to ease Capella into more minutes and let him come off the bench initially, I'm fine with that since he's the future.
Yeah, and we've been talking about a lot of role guys. Let's go ahead and start talking about the starters. I want to talk about specifically Ryan Anderson and the amount of spacing he provides for James Harden. Like, it really, like, I knew he was a great shooter going in. I didn't know how deep he could go from beyond the arc. I'll be honest, I had no idea he could stretch to like a foot or two beyond the 3-point line, and the amount of spacing that provides for everybody on the court and just opening up that paint a lot more compared to a guy like Terrence Jones or even Donatas Moniunis, even though Donatas Moniunis was an okay 3-point shooter, that it's significantly like drastic, and it's really refreshing on the eyes to see just that amount of spacing and that amount of shooting around James Harden. Like, I was legitimately like, so it felt so weird seeing this amount of shooting on the court. From Patrick Beverley to Trevor Ariza to Eric Gordon, it's insane.
Yeah, and it was nice because so much of last year's struggle was that James Harden, they could just key in on James Harden, you know, when he had the ball. And now the thing is, when Ryan Anderson is that far behind the 3-point line and stretching out defenders, you saw it on one of those plays against New York. Derrick Rose was guarding Harden, and Ryan Anderson was, you know, a few feet behind the 3-point line, and there, you know, the defenders were just sucked over to that side of the court, so it left Derrick Rose one-on-one with James Harden, and he got a wide open layup. I mean, that kind of stuff did not happen last year.
Yeah, a lot of this Ryan Anderson having a lot of range is really going to help Harden and his penetration. When you've got someone that, when you've got a defender that has to worry about Ryan Anderson and has to stand that far back away from the paint, it's just going to allow Harden, allow Harden to get into the paint, and they won't be there immediately. You know, they won't be just waiting for Harden to get it into the paint. They're going to have to react once Harden makes his move, as opposed to already being there, and that makes a big difference.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier in the podcast, Paul, about Corey Brewer and possibly him having a resurgent season. I think I'm in on that. I know I made a whole bunch of jokes in the offseason about trade Corey Brewer and, you know, how I don't want him on the Rockets. I think I'm in on him having a resurgent season under Mike D'Antoni, because he looked, the past couple of games, he looked pretty good. He looked pretty good, I'll be honest, and I think this type of offense suits him very well. You know, the amount of gambling he's going to be doing this season is going to be off the charts. And if the Rockets manage to force a whole bunch of turnovers this season, I think a large part of them are going to come from Trevor Ariza and Corey Brewer. And, you know, I'm interested. I'm interested to see how much playing time he truly gets this year. Because under Mike D'Antoni, you know, the loyalties are gone. From the previous coaching staff, all loyalty everybody had to their reserves, it's completely gone. Mike D'Antoni is going to start his own guys, and he's going to start his own reserves. So I'm interested to see just how key Corey Brewer is for the Rockets next season.
Yeah, I certainly think that it can't get any worse for Corey Brewer than it was last season. And I think a big part of that was just the air around the team. I don't think anybody really was playing at their best, you know, other than James Harden. And so I think even just the mentality of this team is different, and that alone will, I think, have Corey Brewer playing better. He's going to, you know, every mistake that Corey Brewer made last year just seemed astronomical. And, you know, pretty much any time that anything like that happened, you think that, you know, JB Bickerstaff would pull him off the court and say, "Hey, look, let's take a minute, calm down." Nope. He played so many minutes and so many games where Rockets Twitter was, you know, going bananas trying to get him off the court. But I certainly think that he seems a lot more comfortable already. Mike D'Antoni's offense is, you know, great for a guy like him. And he shoots the three ball well enough to, you know, to be relevant still.
Yeah, and you said it. In terms of real plus minus, Corey Brewer was legitimately one of the worst players in the NBA last year. So I what you said earlier, it can't get any worse. I think that's an appropriate description.
Yeah, and when you think about Corey Brewer, and you can say what you want about his defense, he does take a few too many gambles, and he's probably not a major plus on that end. He can be overrated on that end, but he does give effort on defense, and we already know that the offense is going to be really good, and there's probably not much that you can do to make this offense not good. So having a bunch of effort guys on defense can't hurt, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I agree.
Like Corey Brewer.
Yeah, I agree. And so if I had to ask you guys to pick out an 8 to 9 man rotation, because that's usually what Mike D'Antoni likes to run with, who would be those guys and why would you pick those guys? So an 8 to 9 man rotation consisting of this current roster.
So you said current roster, so assuming Demo does not get back.
Yeah, we're going to assume that. Yeah.
Right. So Harden, obviously, Eric Gordon, Capella, Ryan Anderson, and this isn't in the order of which I say this is not relevant. Harden, Capella, Ryan Anderson, Nene, Beverly, Ariza, Brewer, KJ, and am I missing someone?
No, I think you named about pretty much everybody. Maybe Beverly. Yeah, I think you named Beverly. What about you?
Yeah, I think obviously you're going to have your three offensive creators, you know, Harden, Anderson, Gordon. Ariza is obviously going to be very much in the mix. He's going to be our, you know, hopefully come back to his great defensive ways. And we'll see, obviously, Capella. Nene is going to be there. And then you'll have guys like KJ, Brewer mixed in. And, you know, as far as backup bigs, outside of Nene and Capella, you know, you're probably not going to see too much of the younger guys. And it's kind of unfortunate because I think that Decker actually has a place on this team. But I don't think that he'll see it probably this year. So that, you know, those eight guys are probably my main guys.
Yeah, and if I had to pick, I'd probably say, obviously, I'll name the starting unit first. Obviously, Harden, Beverly, Capella, Anderson, and Ariza. I think Capella will start. I'm going to go ahead and bet on that. But if Nene starts, I'm not going to blame Mike D'Antoni. He's obviously much smarter than me. And for as far as the bench unit, I would say Brewer, Nene, KJ, and Gordon are probably going to be the likely bench units for this team. Perhaps KJ doesn't see the floor. I hope not, because I think he's earned his minutes in terms of the preseason. I know it's preseason, but he did enough last season, I think, to justify giving him playing time, and I just think he's good enough. So yeah, I think that's a good 9-man rotation for those guys. And yeah, I think we pretty much covered everything as far as this last week of games. I want to go ahead and give a quick shout out to the new guys at RedNationHoops.com. Joshua Lewis, Trent Arnold, Kyle Chilek, welcome to the team. Welcome to the team, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play Music. Give us a good rating. Give us a good rating if you like the podcast. If you didn't like the podcast, give us a good rating anyways. That's just the right thing to do. All right, good night, guys.
Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how!
I've switched a lot of things in my life, but it's never worked out. I switched to being a vegetarian, but ate more bacon than ever. Every time I switch lines at the grocery store, I never pick the fast one. But one thing that totally worked out is I switched to Metro PCS and got a free Samsung Galaxy.
Make the right switch too. Move to Metro PCS and get a free Samsung Galaxy J7 with a huge 5.5-inch screen. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Plus sales tax. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details, terms, and conditions.